This is Jennifer Hunt with Maureen Hall on the 26th of February 2015 at our home in Norton Keynes, Staffordshire. Maureen, would you just like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I am Maureen Hall. I have been in the WRVS since, or should I say WVS, shouldn't I? Mm-hmm. I've been in the WRVS since 1976. My mother-in-law, she was in at the beginning when the Derby and Joan Club started, and it was through her that I joined. When she died, she'd always asked me beforehand to join, and I did join afterwards. I was asked to join, and I've been with them ever since. I'm still going strong now, trying to anyway. Yes, so that is the Derby and Joan Club, but I've done various other things as well. I did the prison tea bar at Featherstone, and I rather enjoyed that. I think I did that for about 10 years. And Meals on Wheels, I know I did for 25 years until I lost the contract. But I love doing that, going around talking to the people. Some of them weren't really bothered so much about the meals. It was just someone they wanted to see and talk to. But of course, we haven't always got the time. We tried to stop a minute or two, you know. But yes, I enjoyed that, and I was sorry when it finished after 25 years. But still, I enjoyed it. And what else did I do? The emergency services. My first duty actually was with the emergency services. I'd only just joined, I think, a week, and Mrs. Bagaruti, she was the district organiser, and she rang me up the one night and said, "Come on, Maureen, there's an emergency in Norton. We've got to get down to the racetrack." She says, "All the people are going there." I said, "What's happened?" And she said, "There's a gas leak and we've got to get them all there," she said. "Ambulances are taking them in," she said. "Get up, get dressed, put your green uniform on, and if you've got a bag of sugar and a bottle of milk, bring it down with you." So that was about 2 o'clock at night. And my husband said, What's the matter? I said, "There's an emergency, a gas leak somewhere." And as I came out the door, when she came to pick me up, I came out the door and you could smell it. But it was a leak on a big lorry that had come to one of the factories, and they were just taking all the elderly people, especially, or those right in the vicinity, to this place. There were about 100 people, and we went there, made tea, and gave them biscuits, and the ambulances had given us blankets to put round some of the elderly people. And you know, it was quite exciting, really. But that was the first time. I said, "I didn't know I was in the emergency services." She said, "Oh yes, you are," she said. "You fill the form in, and you said you didn't mind doing emergency services." So that was how I got involved. But I loved it, really. Yeah.
And you mentioned that you became involved because of your mother-in-law.
Yes.
Were there any other reasons you wanted to join WRVS?
Well, yes, I've given up. I used to do a part-time job, and I had given that up to actually look after my mother-in-law towards the end. And, of course, I'd got no job afterwards, and I thought I would like to do... Actually, when I was about 18, I worked in an office at Stafford, and they asked me to join, and I said, "You can learn to drive," and I was going to join then, but I didn't. I was put off because I said, "Oh, you might be one of the first to be called up if there's a war," and it put me off, and really, they shouldn't have said that, because I absolutely loved it when I did join. And the family were growing up. They were still at school. I've got two children. They were still at school. But they were all right, because I could go to the Derby and Joan Club anyway on a Wednesday afternoon, which is what I started to do to fetch my mother-in-law back, take her and bring her back. But of course, and then when she died, I had a letter from them asking me if I would join them. So I'd got an idea what it was like, and so that was why I joined, really. And apart from the fact that I think voluntary work is very good for anyone that's on their own, or you know, that perhaps not got a job, you get satisfaction from it, You know, you don't want paying for it. You just get satisfaction of helping other people. Well, I always have anyway.
What are your earliest memories of volunteering for WRVS?
The early years was, well, it was really looking after old people. I never thought of myself, you know, being involved with that old people. And when I started, there weren't that many that went to our Derby and Joan Club. But I found myself really enjoying looking after them, and they used to ring me up any time. You know, I remember one lady, and she rang me up. She said, "Harry hasn't come back yet." I said, "Well, where's he gone?" She said, "Well, he went to walk," she said, she says, "but he hasn't come back, and he's always back by now." And I said, "Well, don't get worried." I said, "I'll get the car out and see if I can find him." Anyway, I didn't know. I went around the streets. I couldn't find him. And I went back, and I stopped with her in her house. And I said, "Have you rung your son?" And she said, "Yes." Anyway, about half an hour later, in walks her husband, and he'd been to one of our old ladies' houses, and she'd made some cakes, and he'd stopped and had cakes and tea, and she was that worried, the wife was, you know. And I said, "You'll know where he is the next time." You know, that was just one of my very first memories, really, apart from the emergency service that I had down there. I've always found that I've looked forward to it, especially the Derby and Joan. I'm still going there now, and every Wednesday afternoon, I don't go anywhere else, I have to go to the Derby and Joan Club. And we did have 100 members at one time, but they've dwindled down now. And I looked after my husband. He had Parkinson's for 18 years, and so I looked after him, and I thought, have I got to give it up towards the end, because I knew he was getting worse. And a friend said, "You can't give it up, you want something to do afterwards if anything happens." And I didn't want to give it up anyway, so I just carried on, and I'm glad I did, because it kept me busy, kept my mind busy. And as I say, I still go now. I don't do the holidays now, because I used to do a holiday every year for them as well, some of them wouldn't have gone away at all, you know, because either they haven't got family or the family doesn't want them to go away with them. And so I did these holidays, and I used to really enjoy it. I mean, we did have some fun. We went up to Scotland one year, and one old lady, she was 90, but she met a chappy up there, and he took her out, and we were worried to death in case he didn't bring her back. But he did bring her back, and she says, "I kept on holding my handbag all right, I don't know what you were worried for." But you know, we did have some fun. I really enjoyed those holidays. So you know, I just enjoyed the old experience, and I wouldn't want to give it up, you know, even now. I know I'm getting old, I've had operations and one thing and another, but I still go, and I do enjoy it, and they like me there as well. They do, you know, like it. So I wished you were still the leader, which is nice of them.
How would you describe what a Derby and Joan Club is?
Well, some people say, "What is a Derby and Joan?" But I don't really know how it got its name. I think it was during the war, and I think a Derby and Joan to me was always elderly people, an elderly couple. But where the actual name came from, I mean, one was Joan, I don't know whether the man was Derby or what, or whether they came from Derby, but they got the name Derby and Joan. And I know, like, my mother-in-law used to go, and she was on the committee when they first started. She was also a WRVS member as well during the war, because she did the savings. And she also, I know she had I didn't know her at the time, but I know that she had a refugee come to stay with them. The husband could remember that. She did quite a lot, really, for the WRVS. But I don't think any of them, well, And I took over from her, Mrs. Watson, Maud Watson, who was the leader at the time. I think I'd been going 2 years then, or 3 years, when they asked me to become leader. I wouldn't at first, because I felt I didn't really know enough. And so another lady, I persuaded her to do it, but she only did it for 12 months. And then she said, "Here you are, Maureen, here's the badge, the WRVS badge, you are now leader." And that was it. I had no choice. But, I'd got into it anyway, so I didn't mind and I enjoyed it. And and we did get up to 100 members. I remember saying we had to close the books and just put the names on a waiting list for them to join. But now I think we've got about 40 or 50. But I think a lot of these Derby and Down clubs, I don't know what it is. Well, they can't get volunteers to run them for a start. I mean, you've got to have someone that can organise things, days outings and holidays and, all sorts of things, really. I mean, the Derby and Down people come to have a good old natter, and at the moment we've got a minibus that picks some of them up. They can't get there otherwise, and they all look forward to it, and they come, and although they're not so bothered about, well, I do like to play bingo, we have a game bingo, but the main thing is they come and meet the friends and they have a good old natter, and they perhaps don't see anyone else for a week or so. And so that's why they come. We make them a cup of tea. We used to do them sandwiches, but I think 3 o'clock in the afternoon they didn't really want one, so we cut that down and we just do tea and biscuits now. But we give them parties. I mean, when they're 80, they always have a party, so we have a good party for them, get them a cake and perhaps a little drop of sherry or something, you know. But and I think that's why they come, is because they like to see the other people, and it gets them out. They don't get bored then in the four walls, because some of them don't go anywhere otherwise. There's a lady next door and she's got very bad legs. The nurses have to keep coming in. But I do take her down on a Wednesday with me, and she shuffles in, you know. And she really enjoys it. She does it. But she don't see or go anywhere otherwise than there. You know, so I think that's what it is, really, Derby. We did think of changing the name at one time, because we knew younger people don't know what Derby and Down mean when you say Derby and Down. But I said, well, what's that? And so we thought of changing it, but we went through no end of names and we never did change it. We just left it. We thought we couldn't agree, you know, the committee couldn't, so we just left it as it was. But it is for elderly people. Yeah, my granddaughter she was at college at the time, but every Wednesday afternoon she was her free time from college, and she used to come and help us out, and she really enjoyed it, you know. I never thought she would, but she did, and I love to have her there, you know. But we can't get the young ones to come and help now, you know. I don't know why. They should come, because I think it would do them good, and it gives them an insight into other people, you know. And my granddaughter, I mean, she's a nurse now, and she's got on really well, and I think it helped her to come down and have a talk with the elderly people, apart from giving them a cup of tea or, you know, whatever. And she was really well liked there, so I think if a lot of younger ones could get involved, it would do them good, you know, for the rest of the life, really, because they're helping other people, and I think it just makes you feel good in yourself.
Where is the Derby and Joan Club?
That's down at the community centre at Brownells Road. It used to be on the other side of the road, but it got a bit old and dilapidated. And anyway, when the housing committee took it over, the ground, to build houses, they built this new community centre for us, and that's how we've got it. And we used to buy bricks and things to, you know, a pound a go or whatever it was, and it helped as well. And we've got a lovely community centre now. That opened. We moved in the year 2000, and the parish council gave us grant towards new crockery and everything, so we had all new crockery. Was doing all, well, 100 cups of tea a week. Some of them did get broken, so we had all new crockery, we had new plates and everything. And it really is a nice community centre. I mean, it's used a lot, and it isn't council run, it's run by volunteers. I was on the committee for 15 years, and it's getting good, you know, good, what's the word? I can't remember it. But, you know, I really did like the, they do like the community centre, and it's warm, and they come, and it's nice and airy, and they have concerts and that there, and we have people come to entertain us as well from time to time for the Derby and Joan Club. But, I mean, there's dancing there, there's bowling there. I go to all of them, well, most of them. Bowling there on a Tuesday night, and they have concerts there. Have dances Saturday night as well as Friday night. There's judo there. There's things for all ages, really. You know, it isn't just a Derby and Joan Club, but I mean, that's just on a Wednesday afternoon, but there's lots of other things going on there as well. And it's in more or less the centre of the village, really, so people can get there. And as I say, people that can't drive now, they go on the minibus, so they can still get there. We're going out next week. We're going to the Barclay Garden Centre next week, and we're taking a coach load of them with us. So that'll be a day out for them. Yeah.
And where were you? Where did you have the club before you moved into the community centre?
Well, it was in the old community centre, which was over the road. But like I say, it was getting a bit dilapidated, but I don't remember when that first went up as well, but it was alright. We still had a lot of people there, and we did have another WRVS club come from Etching Hill, which is Rugeley Way. There was actually that lady's just not long died, Helen Dawson. She was over 100, 102 when she died. But I think when she got to 80, they couldn't get anyone to take a place, so they had to drop out. It was a shame, really. She's a lovely person, she's got a lovely club, and we invited them all over to our club, and we had, it was something the WRVS did. It was, I think we was we Alice in Wonderland or something?
Oh, Mad Hatter's
Tea Party. Yes, Mad Hatter's Tea Party, that was it. And it was a great success, that was. I mean, they all came over from Etching Hill on a coach, and all our lot were there anyway. And this was in the old centre. And we had a fabulous time. We all dressed up, you know, and the emergency services team, the centre team, to make the tea and that for us, so that we had could enjoy it as well. And we didn't have to make the tea or sandwiches that day, so it was nice to be treated. And we did, we had a fabulous day. It was really lovely, and you know, I made quite a bit really out of that for the WRVS. And as I say, and this Helen Dawson, who was the leader of the Etching Hill club, she invited us over to them, and so we went and we spent an afternoon with them as well, and it was quite good. Really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Can you tell me about the different roles you've had at the club?
Yeah, well, I started off as a secretary. That was my first job. Then I went to, and then I after 3 years, 2 or 3 years, I was made the leader, and then I've been the leader right up until, oh, I think it must, well, my husband's been dead 4 years, coming up to five. It was about 12 months before that, so up to about 6 years ago. So it's been about over 30 years. And well, over 30 years, yeah, because this year I'll have been in it 39 years. That's right, in November, that was when I actually joined. So, like next year, it'll be 40 years. So, but anyways, I'm vice chairman now. I'm not the leader now. I'm just vice chairman, but that's all right. I mean, I still do the leadership sometimes. Like yesterday, I went to the club, and Safni gets taken over. She does a lot of council work, and she said, will you be able to close the club this afternoon because I've got to go to a meeting? I said, yes, that's all right. So I still do part of the job anyway, you know. But that's more or less what I did. But I did used to do the holidays as well for them. I mean, I did at one time. I seemed to be doing everything until I remember Jeanette Cartwright saying to me, you must delegate work out. You can't do it all yourself, she says. You make yourself ill. You've got to delegate. Well, at the time, I just thought, because I used to say to people on the committee, well, can you write to Sam-so and do Sam-so? And then I found, well, they weren't doing it. I've got to keep chasing notes. So it was quicker to do it myself. And so I used to do it myself, and I did find at one point that I seemed to be doing everything. And so I started to do what Jeanette said, which was a lot better. And we got a social secretary then, because I was all that as well. And so now we have got someone that organises the days outings. The committee get together and we decide where we're going to go and what dates we're doing, but someone else now sorts, organises it really. But that's only like the last 3 or 4 years really, as I haven't done it, because I was doing it right up. I mean, the holidays I did up till about 5 years ago. I used to take my husband with me as well, but I've always enjoyed it, and we used to have a fancy dress party the last night before we came back, and they used to love that. I've still got a bag of the fancy dress stuff in there, you know, and if they want one, they come and ask me, have you got any fancy dress, can we borrow one? But and then I used to organise the Christmas dinners as well, and we used to invite the councillors to come, especially the ones that used to give us a grant from time to time, you know, we used to look after those. But I've really enjoyed what I have done, and I still do. I love to go to the Derby and Jam Club.
You mentioned the holidays
a couple of times.
Where did you take them on holiday?
Oh, well, I've took them all various places. We've been up Scotland. We went to near Glasgow. I forget the place we went to now. We've been to about 3 different places up Scotland. We've been down Devon. We've been down Cornwall. We've been down Wales, across to Wales, to Tenby and Saundersfoot. We've been really all over the place, we did go to Jersey as well. That was funny because we went on I thought we were going from Birmingham, but when it turned out we got a go from Weymouth, so they sent a coach to pick us up, got a coach load going, and we went down to Weymouth and got on the plane. It was only a little plane, it was only a little airport. And but anyway, we got to Jersey, and they all enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and they did manage all to take a passport with them as well, so to make sure that they've got a passport. But that was good in Jersey. But we've been all over the place really. We went to we've been to Anglesey, and we went to the Isle of Man, and they enjoyed that. And that was, I thought, going over, some of them might not be well going over on the boat across, but we weren't. We were all right. It was quite a good sailing, you know. But I remember when we went to Jersey, we had a day out at Guernsey, and I said to them, I hadn't booked the day out to Guernsey, but it was a other craft that was going across. And I said, we're going to tomorrow, or whatever day it was, I said, we're going to go across to Guernsey. I've never been there. And I said, so I'm going to go into the shop when we get into wherever it was. I said, and I'll book us in. But if you want to go, you better go and book and say, you know, we'll all be together. And I didn't think they'd want... many would want to go, really, you see. So I haven't collected it. I thought, well, I'm not going around collecting the money, don't pay it in themselves. So I got off the car to my husband and two of our friends, and we walked down off the couch down to where this office was. And when I looked back, they were all getting off the couch, and probably was a whole lot did. And I was really surprised, but anyway, we went. We did all go. And but it was so rough going across that, well, my friend's husband, he was ill, and they had to go and lie him down at the back. And one or two others, I couldn't get off the toilet. We was giving them peppermint to have. Oh, dear. And I thought, well, what a day out. But, and anyway, my friend's husband, when we got there, I had arranged for the horse and carts to take us up the hill. And to go, I mean, there's no cars on there, you just go around. And I think the doctor might have had one, but I don't know. Anyway... they had to take him to the middle of the island of Guernsey, and he had to lie down in the doctor's surgery all the while we was there. They gave him an injection, and they said if ever he went across water again, to have an injection first, which he does do now. But that was good, though. It was lovely. The first time I'd ever been to Guernsey, and it was so quiet and peaceful. It was a lovely holiday, that was. Yeah, so... yeah, so, yes, we've been all over the place, really. Yeah. And I used to always say, where are we going next year? And I think, oh, gosh, you know, but nobody does the holiday now. I mean, Zafty did start to... she was doing one, and we paid deposit in, and I don't know what went wrong, but she said as... there weren't enough to go, and so we lost our deposits. Well, I didn't think that was right, but still, that's, you can scrub that bit out. But anyway, I mean, I'd love to do it now, but I'm getting too old now to, you know, to do it. But I mean, I've had a new knee replacement, but it's not too bad. It does. It hurts a bit at times, but it's all right. I had different operations, so I thought I'm getting past it now, organising, you know, there's a lot of work involved, but when you're younger, you don't mind, you know, and I used to enjoy it. I still go on holidays, but I don't organise them now.
And what other services have you been involved with in WRVS?
Yeah, well, I've... I did the tea bar at Featherstone Prison. That was quite an experience, really. They lock the doors behind you as you go in. It's all very secure, like, you know, and you think, oh gosh, they let me out. But that, it was an experience. I mean, I'd never been in a prison before. Don't want to go in a prison, but they took us round and showed us round. I mean, we were there to make the tea, actually, for the wives of the prisoners who'd come to visit them. Some of them had come a long way. So it was like a little tea bar, and we made tea and coffee and drinks and chocolate and biscuits. But when we first went, they took us round to show us, and... I mean, it amazed me, you know, what, we didn't go into any of the cells or anything, but they've got a great big gymnastics hall, you know, and everything there. It was marvellous, really. Opened your eyes. So that was at the Featherstone. And but then I found I was doing Meals on Wheels at sometimes the same time, and it was a bit of a rush to get back from doing Meals on Wheels to get over to Featherstone for the tea bar. So I gave the tea bar one up and carried on with the meal somewhere else. But I did do the prison one for about 10 years, yeah. And then as I say, with the emergency services, I did that for about 15 years. I did that actually up until I had an accident with my own car, and that was going to do some emergency work at Rodbaston. The WRDS had got a big meeting on there, and me and three other ladies with me were going to do the tea for them for this big meeting. And I tried to turn, well, I did, I was turning in to go into Rodbaston when a van was coming, it's right up behind me, and we had an accident. He went into the back of me, knocked me into the curve as I was going to go round, and I tried to pull back out and burst a tyre, and I just remember everything happening. We were all right, we weren't hurt, but they expected us still to work. My car was smashed up, and me and my friend sat on the bank on the side till the police came, and the other two, somebody picked them up and took them off, and they had to make cups of tea for everybody. I thought, it just wants a cup of tea. But anyway, I did. Mind you, they were good about it, because Carol, I can't remember her other name now, from Lichfield, she was a district one at Lichfield, the head one, and she did send a car, let me have a car for one day, because I think I was without mine for about a month. She let me have it one day to take my mum to see. I always took my mum about once every 3 weeks to see my brother, who was in a home at Stafford, and because I couldn't get there, you see, and she must have found out, and she says, you can have the WLVS car. So she let me have it to take my mum, which was good of her. So I thought, well, I were looking after me, really. But it had shut me up at the time. But anyway, I thought the car would absolutely be no good at all afterwards. But they didn't. They did manage to do it up, so I did have it back. And my husband made me go out, and even past where it had been. He said, you're driving down that road. So we went down, and that was it. Once I'd done it, I was all right. Yeah, so that was the emergency service. That was one of them. We had, the old RAF camps at Pye Green, Hensford. We always called them the old. I used to live not far from there, and before I was married, and there were some refugees came over. I couldn't remember whether they were Polish or who they were, but they were from abroad anyway, and they came and they'd got nothing, and we had to go and sort clothes out for them, you know, into ages and that, so that they could come and look at their size and have them, you know. And I can remember it. I don't know who it was, but it might have been Hungarians, I don't know. But they'd done a dinner, well, for them lot. Someone had done a dinner, and it was their sort of food. And I wasn't used to any food like that, but we had it, and it was quite nice. I mean, today you eat anything, don't you? You know, there's a Chinese, Cantonese, and anything. But in those days, you know, in my younger days anyway, we weren't used to that. We just had plain cooking. I remember, my dad was in the war, and as I was a child growing up, we just had chips, egg and chips mainly, you know, just something plain, and we weren't used to anything like that, you know. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. It was all right, and we were helping them. That was all right. I really enjoyed doing that. Then we had the Cannock Chase was all on fire as well, the ones, and they were there for about two days and nights, I think, and we had to take it in turns to go up there with those that could drive, like, and so I used to take a team up there, and we'd go and do sandwiches and cups of tea for the firemen and the policemen, really, that were there all the while. But we'd only do, I'd say, a 4 hour stretch, and then go back, perhaps go back again the next day. but it was quite exciting, really. Good, it was nice work, yeah. And they're all happy and cheery as I'm working on. Even now, I mean, the fire that thought at one time they were going to put it out, but they did, yeah. That was emergency services. I think we had another one as well. I can't remember what that one was. But I remember we went for training. We used to go to Penkridge, a big hall there, and do our training for the emergency services. We even had, we did have an emergent, a training session down at our community centre the one day, and they came over from all around, really, that were in the emergency services. And we had to go and train, you know, take names down and where do you come from and this, that, the other, you know. I think I bandaged somebody up. But we enjoyed it. It was a bit of fun, really. And at least it does give you an insight into what could happen, you know, and that training would come in useful. So that was the emergency services, the prison service. I did do the library. That was Jeanette Cartwright just asked me to do that. Mrs. Bagrooty, when I'd done the emergency down at the racetrack, which is where they took all the old people, she was the doctor's wife, Mrs. Bagrooty, and she was, I think she was the district or area manager. She was one of the other anyway, and it was her who's really introduced me to the WRVS. But Fod Stretton, I mean, she's not with us now, and her husband only died a couple of years ago. He was 98, just coming 99. He did want to live till he was 100, but he didn't manage it. But Ray, like his wife Fod, she was in the emergency services in the WRVS since I think it was just after the war. She lost her daughter, it used to be a canal through Norton, and her daughter got drowned. And I think that was when she joined the WRVS, you know, to give her something else to think about. She got a son, and actually it's her son that is now our treasurer at the Derby and Joan Club. But she was a lovely person. So, what was that? I forgot where I got
to. You talked about emergency services. And then Books on Wheel. Well, the library service.
Oh, the library, that was it, yeah. Jeanette Cartwright, she was the area manager then after Mrs. Bagrooty died. And she said, we want to get some funds in so that we can get some toys for the toy library at Canet, in the big library at Canet. They wanted to, they'd got a space where they could have children in and mothers come and borrow a toy for their children if they couldn't afford to buy them one. And she said, no, we've got to get funds in to get those toys. And she says, and she said to me, will you do a sponsored swim? Well, she knew I liked swimming anyway. I still do. So she says, would you do a swim? I says, yes, sir. What? How much have we got to swim? And I think it was 24 lengths, which was half a mile. I know that was half a mile at Planet Bats then. And I says, yes, I said, I'll do it. So I went, and she came, and there was others there as well, WRVS members, that were standing there as well. And they watched us that was in the water going up and down and counted how many we did to make sure. But I did it. But I knew I could do it because I could swim quite a way then. I can't now, but I'm still going swimming. And anyway, we did, and we collected quite a lot. She was really pleased, you know, with him. And they did open the toy library, and I was invited to the, you know, the day it opened. So I did that. I've done sponsored swim slims as well, because I used to ask the members at the club to sponsor me, you see, and they used to always sponsor me. And I said, what are you doing about sponsored slims? Because I would do it, and then I'd put some more weight on it. But I always got lost it when they were sponsoring me. And, yeah, I've done sponsored slims, sponsored walks, but those have usually been for St. Giles Hospice or the Catherine House Hospice at Stafford. I've done walks for them. Or the Macmillan Nurses, and that was starting off from the community centre. We'd walk all around the village. Wasn't too far. It was quite a distance. I can't do it now, but I did do them up till about 5 years ago. And that was for the Macmillan Nurses. But, yeah, I've done them for various things. So, yeah.
You mentioned Meals on Wheels a couple of times.
Oh, yeah, the Meals on Wheels. As I say, we did that for... I did it for 25 years. I used to do... I think I did Round Cannock at first, then I did Heath Hayes and Hensford, and I've done Norton Gaines. I've done quite a few areas, really, with Meals on Wheels. And... you know, it's quite interesting, that is. You go around and some of the people, you can see they can't get out and they just like to keep talking to you. They want you to keep talking all the while. And you feel you want to stop and talk to her. I used to say, oh, here she comes again, she's always got a smile on her face. But I used to go because I used to want to make them feel happy. And I wouldn't want to see anybody with a funny face, you know. And so I used to go and say, oh, how are you, you know. And that was all I wanted, was someone to know that they were there. But they used to have a dinner and pudding. At first we started off, they were in a big container. And the dinner was already plated up. And you just take it out, you've got to cover over, take it out and take it in. Sometimes we had to put the knives and forks out for them because they couldn't even get to the drawers to get the knives and forks out. But most of them had got a plate and a knife and fork ready. And then we'd give them the puddings, but the custard we had to pour out of the big thermos to keep it hot, like, you know. So we did that, and the gravy. And then we'd collect the money off them and take it into the office when we got back. But then afterwards, I've been to various places. We used to fetch the dinners at one time from the Cannock Hospital. And then I don't know why that dropped off, but eventually it did. And then we fetched it from a school. And we used to go and fetch the dinners from there. Then it moved to another school and I've been all over the place, really, fetching dinners. And we used to go and take it, but most places was all right to go to, but one or two weren't very nice, you know. But we used to go in and take a breath and hurry up and get back out again, you know. But some of them, you see, you know, I suppose they just wouldn't let anybody in to help them out. Some people don't. You know, I mean, they did let us go in to take the dinner, but we soon had to get. But the majority were very nice, you know. They were grateful for what you did and to get a nice, good hot dinner and a pudding. Yeah, they really, I enjoyed doing that the best, I think, really. Well, no, I did like the Derby and Jam the best, but I did enjoy doing the dinners, and I was sad when it finished because they just lost the contract. I think somebody else beat them to it or something, and so we didn't have to do it anymore, which was a shame. There was one old man I used to go to, and he always looked forward and he'd always have an apple for me. I mean, we weren't supposed to have anything off them, but he'd make me have that apple. He'd say, you have that apple, I won't eat it, it's for you, you have that apple. So I used to have to come out with the apple, but, you know, really, we weren't supposed to have anything. But, you know, but we'd always got somebody with us because you didn't go in on your own because you don't know what they might say. So I always had my neighbour actually next door. She's not with us no more now, but she used to come with me to do Meals on Wheels. And I'd always say, you come in. But the one day I went in a flat, and actually she did go into another one to try and get it done quicker, and because we knew they were all right. And I went in this flat, and as I come out, I don't know what happened, but my leg gave way, and I was on the floor and I couldn't get up. and I just looked, and I remember looking, and I saw my friend come and got back in the car, and she, and I was on the floor, I couldn't stand up, and I remember her looking, and then she looked again, and I was still there, and I was trying to shout her, but she couldn't hear me, and then she suddenly realised. She said, "I thought, what are you doing? I can see your head." She says, "I could only see your head." She said, and she got out the car. I said, "Had to come and help me. I can't get up. And I'd sprain my ankle. I'd really sprain my ankle." And how on earth I managed to go. I drove to the office to give. Luckily, I think it was about the last one or last two that we got to do. And we got to the office, and I said to my friend, "You'll have to take the money in. I can't come in. I've got to get home." I said, "I've my ankle. I'll have to go to the doctors." Anyway, and I drove it home. I don't know how I drove it home. I really don't, but I did. I managed to drive it home. And then I went to the doctors, and he says, "Oh, I don't think there's anything broken," he says, but "I'll send you." No, he didn't. He said, "Just keep it backed up." Anyway, at the time, I was going to the hospital for my arthritis. I've got full of arthritis. And when he saw me, the one at the hospital, he says, "What have you done?" Because I limped in. And I said, I think I've sprained it. He said, "We better have it x-rayed." And he straight away sent me for an x-ray. And when it came back, he said, "No, you haven't broken it, but it is very, very badly sprained." And it was. And I thought to myself, gosh, I didn't know how so easily that could have happened. I just don't know why. Whether it was, it might have been the arthritis, it might have been my knee just gave way, I don't know. But I'd sprained my ankle anyway. But apart from that, I mean, I used to enjoy going out and doing it, you know.
Where did you collect the meals from?
Well, we used to collect them, as I say, from the Cannock Hospital was the one place. Then there was St John's School in Cannock. It was all in Cannock. We had to go into Cannock to pick them up. And then there was another school. I don't know what the other school was called. And I did do a luncheon club as well. We did a luncheon club at the Methodist Chapel, and they used to I think they cooked them there, and but that it was a WRVS were helpers with it, but they didn't do any cooking or anything. We just went to dish the dinner out, you know, and put the gravy on and do the puddings. And so we did that as well at the Methodist Chapel here in Norton. But the other dinners, mainly, they were all in Cannock. But we used to take them out as far as Hensford and Pye Green and, as I say, Ebay's, Norton. And we never did Worley. I think that was to come under another district. But Pye Green and Hensford and Cannock, parts of Cannock, we did. Yeah, I've got to know quite a few places. Yeah, but it was mainly schools or hospitals where they did the dinners. They were doing them for themselves. I mean, they don't know anyway. I think they have the dinners come over for the hospital itself, from Stafford now. Well, I don't know. It's gone all haywire at the moment.
And when you wrote to me, you wrote down that you also helped with planting trees.
Oh yes, we did that. That was another Jeanette Cartwright. Yeah, it was all the WRVS. I mean, all our committee went from our Derby and Jail Club that were in the WRVS, and we went to Bridgetown, and they were setting these trees all round in a field. They'd made a new road through, and I suppose they wanted something to grow up and look nice. And so we went, and all these trees, they were only saplings like, and we had to dig a hole and put them in. And my husband came as well. He came, although we wanted the WRVS, but he came and helped, and some of the men did come and help to dig the hole. And we planted these trees, and it's funny because I saw them the other day and I thought, gosh, how big those trees are. But I mean, that was a good many years ago. I mean, my grandmother, she was here then, and she was I mean, she was in the WRVS a long while. She was in, actually, before I was in. But she wasn't in as long as what I was in. But there were about 10 of us, I think, of the art committee that all went and put these trees in. And it looks lovely now, with all the trees round. Yeah, yes, we did that. Yeah, enjoyed doing that. I think our photos was put in the paper. Yeah.
And you also went to a garden party at Milton Hill in Oxford.
Oh, yes, that was... I don't exactly know what that was. The celebration was for... I think it was so many years in the WRVS. But we did go. We did have an invitation. It said if any of us wanted to go, we could go on the coach that was going from Stafford. So I got the names in off the committee who wanted to go, and I think we all went. I think there was about 10 or 12 officers went, and we were took down by a coach, and we was all in our finery, all dressed up with a hat on. It was lovely, really, because I'd never been to anything like that before. And it's in a great big marquee, and we went in, and then it started to rain, and it absolutely poured down, and we thought, oh dear, you know. But anyway, it did go over when the Queen was actually coming round afterwards. We were all standing outside, and she came down the steps, and then there's a proper walkway through, and she came round, and then she was shaking hands with certain ones that had been picked out, like. And so, you know, we didn't actually get to talk to her, but we saw her, and she looked lovely, and everyone else did. Everyone was all dressed up. It was lovely, really. It was a lovely day, that was. Yeah, we took some good photos there, and I think they all enjoyed it, because it was the first thing that we'd ever been invited to do with royalty, really. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Have you been to any other WRVS events?
No, not really. No, I don't think we have been to any others. No, we've not been invited to any others. We did think we might have perhaps been invited sometime or other to the Remembrance Service, you know, in November at London. But, and I know some are, but anyway, we never have had an invitation. Oh, I'm telling a lie, we have been invited. With Margaret and myself, Margaret Edwards, that lives just up the road, she was joined, I got her to join the WRVS about 2 years after I joined. And as we'd been there a long while, we were invited to St Paul's Cathedral. That was a couple of years ago. We thought the Queen was going, but it wasn't the Queen. It was Camilla.
Mm.
And we went there, and it was a big service. It was so many years, I suppose. It must have been celebrated.
75th anniversary, which was
yes,
a couple of years ago.
I think it must have been, yeah. And anyway, we had a service in there, and it was really lovely. And we felt that, because we was all dressed in our nines. And Zaphne came with us, her and her husband. We booked a hotel down there. And so we stopped overnight, and then we got ready the next morning, then had a taxi to take us to St Paul's. And then we went up the steps, there were WRVS either side, some in uniform. And I still got a uniform. But anyway, they said, now you dress up how you want, like, you know. So we just dressed up in our finery. We got a hat on, you know, and we looked quite smart. And I think they thought we was really somebody, because as we went up the steps of coming, good morning, you know, and this, that, the other, you know, would you like to come this way, you know, and we really felt somebody. And Daphne said, oh, I was ever so proud of you. She said, I thought you looked lovely, the two of you, you know. She says, you looked really nice. And we were walking down in St. Paul's, and they said, oh, you're, because we'd got a ticket saying where we were supposed to sit in what area. And, oh, you've got to go right down the front, you know. And there we was walking, and because I was in shoes with the heel on, my heel went down the grid, didn't it? Oh dear, no. But anyway, I got the heel out, and we carried on walking, and we were almost opposite where Camilla came. She came round the other way, mind you, but she sat, and we were almost like on a level with her. We were at the side, but we were on a level more or less. She looked very nice, and anyway, we had the service in there, and it was wonderful, really. And then we went out, and then we went to have a cup of tea, and we had a cup of tea out in the other part where they were making tea. But of course, where Camilla had gone, they took her into a private part, so she was having tea and biscuits or whatever. And anyway, and then somebody said they thought she was going out, but she never came out through where we had to come out. She went out of another door. But we did go out, and actually she was just coming out of the side door. And we just happened to see her. I didn't get close enough to take a photograph, but Daphne did, because she could get there quicker than I could. She took a photograph of her, and she managed to run round quick enough to get her. But that was a lovely day, that was. Yeah. So that's when that was for the WRVS. I enjoyed that, and that's it, like. Yeah, I think that's about it.
When you went to the service at St. Paul's, did they announce the name change at that point?
No, they didn't. No, because I was surprised, actually, that, you know, when we had noticed that it was changing. But I had an idea, because that was at Stoke, at the Stoke office, said Nigel, said that he came to our club to present two of the ladies with the medals for the long service awards, but he gave it just the pin part, and there was no medal. Well, she should have had the medal, because we always had medals. What we used to do was 15 years a medal, and then 27 years a medal, which I've got two now, and then 40 years was a medal. But anyway, he came and he just gave her this pin, and I looked at it and I said, that ain't right. I said, it's got to be a medal. And he says, I'll have to sort it out, but he never did. And actually, this, as I've just said, Margaret Turner, that made this cloth, she was one of them that just had this pin, and she was really disgusted with it. She said, you can't do nothing with that. She couldn't even pin it on her properly. I said, because it should have a ribbon down with the stripes on. And I thought something's happening here, you know, something ain't right. Anyway, I rang it, and I just said, it's try and sort it out, but he never did. We never heard nothing else. And Margaret's never been to the club since, because she didn't. She said, I was disgusted. I'd done 15 years service, and all I had was this thing. I says, that's like a bar, really, that you have to put on your medal, but you'd never even had your medal. And I know she'd done 15 years. And Beryl Taylor, that's died now as well, she only had a pin as well, and she was disappointed. But Daphne did, she presented us all with a basket of flowers, so I was supposed to cover it up, really. But I thought at the time, I wonder if they're changing the badge again or something, because that's what they kept changing. Then the hats would be changing. And now they don't wear a uniform, do they, half the time? I mean, I always wear my uniform on Remembrance Sunday, because I take a wreath up to the WRVS wreath. Mind you, as I say, this year I didn't have one. They never wrote and asked me if I wanted one. But last year, I didn't have one, and I rang Nigel up, and he said, I'll get one sent to you within a week. Anyway, the one, I rang him up a couple of days before, and I said, it hasn't come. He says, well, it should have done. I'll put another one on. And I finished up having two. But the one did come in time for the Sunday. So the other one, I kept it, and it's a good job I did, because I wouldn't have had one for this year. But anyway, I took the wreath up, and I always wear the uniform and the hat as well on the Remembrance Sunday, so that I know that I'm representing the WRVS. Well, I should say the RVS now. Yeah, so they changed that, didn't they? Because there's quite a few men in it now. You see, it was just women, really, wasn't it, to start with? I mean, it was a women's voluntary service. Then they had the royal put in it, the Queen gave them the royal to put in it, like, so women's royal voluntary service. And now it's the royal voluntary service, so that the men can be included as well, which is great, you know. Because, I mean, there's quite a few, quite a few men drivers for the Meals on Wheels and things, you know, so, yeah.
Has the Organ of Wales, has the charity changed in any other ways as you've been a member?
Well, I don't know. I think in one way it's very hard to get people to join, because they do good work and everything, and it is voluntary work. But I mean, today you can't get the young ones to join. I mean, when I joined, people would do voluntary work. There weren't so many went out to work to earn money. They would do voluntary work then to stop them being bored if the children had started school and things like that. But today they don't want to. You just can't get young ones interested. I mean, we've tried to get them to join our committee, but they don't want to. And they don't want to do voluntary work today, really, because they want the money. They just want to go out to work. And that's a big difference, really. It's a shame, but that's how it is today, isn't it? You know, you just can't get the young ones to join. It is a shame, because I think they can learn a lot, they get a lot of experience from it, and there's different things that they can do in the WRVS. And it's helping other people. I mean, that's what I've enjoyed best, is helping other people. I think if you can help other people, you feel better in yourself anyway.
Is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to mention?
I don't think so. I think we've more or less covered everything. I think I think we've more or less done it all, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's about it.
In your opinion, what has been the biggest change to WRVS since you joined?
Well, perhaps it's the, like these, well, in this area anyway, I think the biggest change is the Meals on Wheels, because they don't do it now, do they? You know, not the WRVS, there's something else that somebody else perhaps does the. I think that's the biggest change, really. I don't know. I mean, I know they're still, they do hospital work and that, and in the shops and that, and showing people where to go in the hospitals. That's good work. But the biggest thing is, I think, is that people's attitudes are changing. They don't want to, like I say, they don't want to do voluntary work, and it's a shame, because they just, if they want to do any work, they want to be paid for it. So it's a shame, that is, because I've always enjoyed doing voluntary work and helping other people, you know. So I mean, when I was young, if anyone had said to me, you know, in 50 years' time, you'll be looking after old people, I would have laughed at them. But I just went into it, like, you know, and that was it. And I loved him. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad my mother-in-law mentioned it to me, because I knew that she went every Wednesday anyway to the Derby and Joan Club. So I'm glad I took her advice and I did join, and I'm sure she'd have been pleased with what I'd done, you know. So yeah, but like I say, it's a shame. I think they ought to talk about it more in schools, perhaps for the children, and it might get them interested in joining it as they grow older, you know, and helping other people. That's what I think, you know. So yeah,
where do you think Royal Voluntary Service's place in society is today?
Well, I don't know, really. I mean, I know that, like, during the war, they were needed, weren't they? They were very helpful then. And they're still needed today, I suppose, really, but in certain places and that. But I don't know, you know, I don't really know. You don't hear much of them today. You see, at one time, they used to be advertised a lot, you know. You'd hear about them, work that they'd done here, there and wherever. You don't hear that today, at least not round here. I mean, perhaps, you know, they're advertised better other places, but not round here, you don't. And I think the worst thing was when they closed all the offices down. I mean, I know it cost money to keep them going, but at least while they were there, people could pop in and ask for advice or whatever, or help and do things, and you knew where to go. But you don't now. I mean, like I say, I think our nearest one to us is Tamworth, and that's a good way, especially if you haven't got a vehicle, you know, or you can't drive. That's a good way to go, and I've never been there, so I don't really know what it's like, but I know that's supposed to be the nearest place. I think that was a shame that they had to close all those off. I mean, I had been to Lichfield before now, and I mean, one or two of our members, committee members, were given their presented with the badges at outside Lichfield Cathedral. We did go to a big service there for the WRVS some years ago. Got to be 10 or more years ago. But it was nice. It was a lovely service. And then some of our members received their long watched awards. And it was lovely. And I remember them being outside the cathedral and having the photographs taken. And all that, felt quite proud, you know. But we don't get none of that now. We don't get any of that. In fact, we don't see anyone hardly from WRVS. I don't know why, but we don't. Yeah.
What do you think is the future for Royal Voluntary Service?
Well, I don't know, really. Like, as I say, it's trying to get the young ones to join, you see, that then they can carry on with it. But it's just trying to get these young ones interested in it. So, I don't really know. I just don't know. I just hope that they do keep on going, because they do good work and it helps people. But, you know, situation as it is at the moment with work and one thing and another, it's hard to visualise.
And what is your most memorable moment of being a WRVS volunteer?
I think actually it was going to that service at St Paul's Cathedral. I think it was that one. That was absolutely wonderful there. Also the one when we went down Oxford, or what you call it, down there. That was a memorable day as well. That was lovely. So yeah, I think that would be it. Yeah, really enjoyed that day. It was lovely. Yeah.
Well, thank you for talking to me today, Maureen, to make a lovely contribution to our Voices of Volunteering project.
Oh, it's a pleasure.